Lest We Forget, The American Dream.
Police headquarters. Sergeant Hopkins talking.
Listen, Sarge, get a cop out here right away. There's been an accident. It looks like a guy's been killed.
Where did it happen? What kind of an accident?
Well, there was a fight, and one of the guys was knocked down. He hasn't come to.
Okay, but where did it happen? Where are you calling from?
Oh, out here at the mine, entrance to the main gate. Fellow named Grader, Ralph Grader, hit him. He's just lying here, not moving.
We'll be right there. Don't let that Grader get away.
But he's already gone. He's beat it.
Fine. Well, never mind. We'll pick him up. Regan. Mike Regan.
Right here, Hopkins. What's up?
A fight out the mine. Looks like a guy got killed. Somebody named Grader did it and got away.
Grader?
Yeah.
Ralph Grader, is that the name?
Yeah, that's it. You know him?
Sure, I know him. And I think I know where to find him.
Okay, bring him in before he tries to skip town.
Lest We Forget, The American Dream. Another in this series of programs dedicated to you, to me, to all Americans and the kind of America we want to live in. Our story, Arrow in the Air, starring Victor Jory.
Sure, you know Ralph Grader. You've known him a long time. You went to school with him, grew up with him. And it doesn't surprise you too much his being mixed up in something like this. You're playing a hunch he doesn't know what really happened. But you're taking no chances as you climb the rickety stairs in the tenement where he lives. You loosen the gun in your holster as you get to the third floor landing.
Hey, Grader! Ralph Grader! Open up! It's Regan, Mike Regan! I know you're in there, Ralph. Open up!
Okay, copper, what's on your mind?
You wanted down to headquarters, Ralph.
What for? What have I done?
You were in a fight a little while ago, weren't you?
What of it? That dirty Polack, he had it coming.
Same old Ralph Grader. You shouldn't have socked him so hard, though.
What do you mean?
He's still out, hasn't come to yet.
I back a wallop, all right.
Yeah. Better come along now, quietly.
What for? I didn't start it. I just hit him in self-defense, honest. Velchetsky started it.
Joe Velchetsky? Is that who you slugged? Why?
Because he's a Polack. Isn't that reason enough?
When are you going to grow up? That's the way you used to talk when you were a kid. And here, what are you doing? Stay away from that cabinet.
Let go of me.
No, you don't. Hand it over. Come on.
You're breaking my arm.
No. Let's see what you've got in your hand. A locket, huh? Yeah, expensive one, too. With an emerald on it. Where'd you get it?
None of your business. It's mine. Give it back to me.
I've got a better idea. We'll take it down to headquarters with us. Hold still. Well, I didn't want to put the cuffs on you, Grader, but you asked for it. Now get moving.
All the way down to headquarters, you watch him sitting beside you, sullen, tight-lipped, not talking. It's been a long time. You'd forgotten about him and Joe Velchetsky, but you remember now. Ralph always pushed Joe around when you were kids. He hated him, made life miserable for him. The only reason you could see was that Joe was smaller and Polish. Oh, but that's kid stuff, you say to yourself. You outgrow that. But you don't know. Doesn't look as if Ralph did. Why? And when you get down to headquarters...
Is this Ralph Grader, Regan?
Yeah, admitted the assault, too.
Good work. Lock him up.
Wait a minute. What for? I know my rights. What are the charges?
Right now, it's assault and battery. But if Velchetsky dies, there'll be another name for it.
You stand by while Grader's booked, and the only thing you feel is cold curiosity. You never liked the guy, and you still don't, and you're glad your part of the job's done. From here on out, it's up to the DA. When you leave the station, you find yourself wondering, why did it happen? What about that locket with the emerald in it? Yeah, what about that?
Can I help you, sir?
Well, I'm Mike Regan from the police department. How's Joe Velchetsky?
Not very good, I'm afraid. He's still unconscious. The doctors are with him now.
Gee, that's too bad. Anybody been here to see him?
The young lady over there on the bench. Ann Ward's her name. I think she's his girl.
No. Thanks. Excuse me, Miss Ward. I'm Mike Regan, an old friend of Joe Velchetsky. Can I be of any help?
Joe's told me about you. Oh, it's been hours, Mr. Regan. Do you think he's going to be all right? Anything happens to him, I don't know what I'll do.
You'll just have to be patient. They're doing everything they can, I'm sure.
I know. But it's my fault. It's my fault that it happened.
Your fault? Oh, no. How do you figure that?
Joe asked me to marry him yesterday. I said I would, and then I told Ralph. I thought he'd understand, but Ralph was furious, and then he had to do this to Joe.
They never got along as far back as I can remember.
That's right. Ralph hated him.
Because of you?
I don't know. Because Joe was Polish, I guess.
Oh, that's no reason.
It was for Ralph ever since he was a child. Yes, I think that's when it started, when his father was hurt in the mine.
I didn't know about that.
Ralph told me. One day he came home from school. His father was lying in bed, and there was a plaster cast on his leg. He didn't know what had happened. Hey, Pop, what happened? What happened to you?
Oh, some dumb Pollock shoved a coal cart over my leg.
A Pollock?
Yeah, the dumb clacks have got no sense at all. Watch out for him, Ralph. They'll get you into trouble every time.
Gosh, what are we going to do now?
I think that's what started the hatred in him, Mr. Regan. It must have been a terrible time for him. They were very poor, and with his father laid up, he had to quit school and go to work.
But gosh, Pop, why does it take so long for your leg to get well?
I don't know, Ralph. Just takes time, I guess.
But, Pop, I'm not making enough money. It's getting to be winter. We need so many things. Look at my shoes. They're worn out, and we got to buy some coal. And gosh, Pop, I don't know, but I'm always hungry.
Those dumb Pollocks. I could murder every one of them. Every one of them.
But if it was their fault, Pop, why don't you make them pay? Why doesn't the company help out? Maybe we could get a lawyer.
It wouldn't do no good, son. You can't get the better of them. If it weren't for them, this never would have happened. You just remember that and stay away from them.
You bet I'll remember it. You bet I'll remember it.
Maybe, Mr. Regan, you can't blame him for feeling how he did about Joe. Mm. Oh, but it's awful. It twisted his whole outlook. It made him bitter and hateful.
I see.
Then when I told him I was in love with Joe, but it's so unfair. It wasn't Joe's fault.
You sit there quietly with the girl. There's nothing you can say, except that now Ralph Grader is beginning to make sense to you. This didn't just happen. It had a start and a reason, a seed and a flowering. Then suddenly your hand feels the locket in your pocket, the locket with the emerald you took from Ralph. You hold it in your hand and you show it to Anne.
What? Well, that's the locket Joe was going to give me. Where did you get it?
Well, it must have fallen from Joe's pocket during the fight.
He was going to have the clasp fixed. It's been in his family a long time. The bride of the eldest son always gets it.
I'd like to keep it for a little while, Miss Ward, and then I'll give it back to Joe. Now, don't you think you'd better go home? If there's any change, they'll let you know.
Oh, no, I want to stay here. I don't want to leave.
You tell the nurse to look after her. Then you get into your car and drive toward the mine. All the time a phrase keeps running through your mind. I shot an arrow into the air. I shot an arrow into the air. It fell to the earth I know not where. You want to check something just to be sure. You begin to go through the records at the mine.
Yeah, sure. Ralph Grader's father worked here, but what's that got to do with what happened this morning?
I don't know. I'm trying to find out.
Well, gosh, I saw the whole thing.
Yeah.
I was standing right there at the gate. It looked to me like Ralph was just laying for her.
Any more reports of about the same date?
Oh, just these.
Let me look through them.
Yes, sir. Joe come down the street with a couple of other fellas, all excited about some girl saying she'd marry him. He was showing them something.
Did you see what it was?
No, it wasn't very big, though. He had it in his hand. Then Ralph stepped out and said he wanted to talk to Joe. So Joe said no hard feeling about Anne, huh, Ralph? I mean, about her marrying me.
Then what did Ralph say?
Oh, something about any girl wanting to marry a crummy Pollock deserve what she got. And that's when Joe socked him. Ralph came right back and knocked him down.
Then what did Ralph do?
Well, he bent over him. Looked like he picked up something. And then he just walked away.
Okay, thanks very much. I found what I was looking for. It's this piece of paper. I'll return it.
Yeah, sure. Hope Joe gets better. And if that Ralph Grader gets life, that'll suit me too.
You put the paper in your pocket and head back to the station. You've got something you want to lay in Ralph Grader's lap. You feel like shoving it in his face, but you're beginning to feel a little sorry for him. And that phrase, "I shot an arrow into the air," keeps buzzing and buzzing through your brain. You go into the station.
Regan, you're just in time. There's a Miss Ward calling from the hospital. Joe Velchetsky's going to be all right.
Good.
Yeah.
Here, give me the phone.
Yeah.
Yes, this is Regan. Wonderful. Oh, I'm glad to hear it. What's that? Now, wait a minute. You can't let him get away with it. You tell Joe that I... All right, if that's the way he wants it. I'll be over there in a little while. Right. Goodbye. I want to talk to Grader, Sergeant.
You want me alone?
If you don't mind, I'd like to talk to him alone.
Sure, sure. Go ahead.
Hiya, copper. Get a promotion?
I just got a phone call. Joe Volchetsky's going to be all right.
Well, what do you know? Polak's are tougher than I thought.
You can go now.
What do you mean, I can go?
You're free. Joe's not going to press charges against you.
Scared, huh? I tell you, there's nothing dumber than a Polak. Imagine me acting that way if I was in his place.
I feel sorry for you, Grader.
What for? What do you expect me to do, break out balling?
No, you were taught to hate, Grader. You never had a chance after that first lie.
Lie? What lie?
The lie your father told you when you were a kid. The lie he told you about the accident in the mine, about the pole he said was responsible for his broken leg.
That was the truth.
The truth. Take a look at this, Grader. Here's a report on that accident. Look at the date. Go on, read it.
John Grader was intoxicated on the date named. Because of this, he fell off a coal car and broke his leg. No responsibility attaches to the company. No indemnity is recommended. Mike, I don't know what to say.
Well, if things hadn't happened the way they did, maybe you wouldn't be the sort of person you are today. Don't blame the Poles. Put the blame where it really belongs. In a lie.
I don't know what to say.
Well, here's your locket. You can have it back now.
That's not my locket. Look, Mike... I'm sorry, Mike. Deep down, I didn't know. Do me a favor, will you, Mike? Drive me over to the hospital. I want to give the locket back to Joe. That's the least I can do.
You look at Grader, and now you know what that phrase meant that was buzzing around in your head. I shot an arrow into the air. That was an arrow, a poison-tipped arrow of prejudice. Ralph Grader carried it around with him almost his whole life. And you wonder how many others there are who have become targets for such arrows. Those nasty cracks about Catholics or Protestants, the slurs against the Jews, the lies about the foreigners, the hatred against the Negroes. And suddenly you see it so clearly. If only people could learn to think before they speak. To realize what they're saying and what can happen when those blind arrows of prejudice find the targets.
The Institute for Democratic Education has brought you another in its series, Lest We Forget, The American Dream. Today's story starred Victor Jory. Listen in again next week for Lest We Forget, The American Dream, dedicated to you, to me, to all Americans, and the kind of America we want to live in. Not tomorrow, but today.